We are back. It is defensive line week. Andy Backstrom is right there in the middle of your screen. Tim May on the other side of your screen. And I am Spencer Holbrook. We are going to talk about Larry Johnson's unit. That's right. Maybe the greatest defensive line coach of all time. I don't know if it's arguable at this point. But we'll talk about him and we'll talk about this unit. Tim, you look at this unit. You've got, I guess, 4 of 5 starters back, if you want to get technical, because Mike Hall Jr. is now with the Cleveland Browns, and he was a pseudo starter as well as Tylee Williams and Ty Hamilton. It was kind of a little hodgepodge of those three in there, depending on who the opponent was. So we'll call it 4 of 5 starters back on this unit. JT Tuimoloa, Jack Sawyer, manning the edge. Tim, like, are we being too high on this unit? Are we too praising of this unit right now? And I guess your general thoughts on the state of the room heading into 2024, Tim.
I just, as soon as this comes up, I just think of the name that pops into my mind is Devon Hamilton and his brother, Ty Hamilton. Devon Hamilton matured slowly but surely and became an NFL player. Ty Hamilton, for example, in my opinion, has followed exactly in the same footsteps. And that's what I'm getting to about this defensive line, man. I see depth across the board, some of it deeper than others. I really like the depth at defensive end, but then you've got two super studs, possible super studs on your defensive ends as the starters in Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau. But you want to let these other guys play too. Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, Mitchell Melton. And I'm telling you, Edric Houston, man, the more you saw him, he was living up to the billing he got, when he went to the mat there before signing with Ohio State. Was one of the top defensive end prospects in the country in this, 2024 recruiting class. So that's what first comes to mind for me. Is the depth of that situation when you factor in Caden McDonald and Hero Canoe and some other guys coming along, you know, Jason Moore. We're going to get into the depth that I don't mean to name everybody, but that's what stands out to me. I think it's not just the couple of elite players, but the quality. And, you know, and a great example of that are Ty Hamilton and Mitchell Melton. Mitchell Melton was a guy that was going to be the super, you know, was going to be that Leo when Jim Knowles first showed up, gets hurt. We haven't seen him for like a year and a half really at 100%, but boy, in the spring he looked really good, right? So, and that's a guy might be listed behind probably Caden Curry or Kenyatta Jackson, depending on which side of the end you're looking on. So that's, I mean, I know I'm going on and on because I think there's a lot to go on and on about this defensive line group.
Yeah, Andy, I think we can just, you know, couple-minute video there. Tim kind of sums up the room there. No, Tim, you're all good. That's why you're here, right? You get excited. No,
dude, the offensive line, defensive line, make or break your football, make you from good to elite. And I think this is a great example. Go ahead now.
I think, Andy, Tim kind of served you a little bit of a softball there, and you can kind of take it wherever you want at this point. Tackles, ends, what do you want to talk about, Andy? Because – you know, there's the state of the room there from Tim, and now we can kind of start to dive in and massage some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, first of all, does the Jack exist? No. I mean, we're still trying to figure that out. I still hear it in recruiting conversations, so it always kind of makes me smile. We're trying to figure out if that's a position still in Jim Knowles' system. But this should be the best defensive line in the country. It really should be. I mean, not every team, pretty much no team has – 2 top 5 overall prospects from the 2021 class just alone. And then they're both on your defensive line. They both play defensive end. They both could have gone to the NFL after last year and maybe been, you know, first, second round picks. And now they're back at Ohio State. And I think we're all still waiting on them to get to that next gear. And I think they've both shown it. JT Tuimoloa always shows it against Penn State. And we saw Jack Sawyer just go off, quite frankly, against Missouri in the Cotton Bowl. As forgettable as that game was, you can't really forget what Jack Sawyer did in that game, setting the Ohio State Bowl record, or at least tying it with the number of sacks. I think he had 3 sacks in that game. So that was quite incredible. And I think the ceiling for those two is extremely high. And you see that in mock drafts pretty much every time you look at them. I will say that the defensive tackle depth maybe is more intriguing to me than the defensive end depth, just because I think that Jack Sawyer and JT can really just take hold of those two spots. And yeah, you want to rotate your defensive ends, but you also want your best players on the field. And those two, I think, for me at least, are just top notch. The defensive tackle rotation has to be deep no matter what you do. Those are typically bigger guys. They need more rest, and you need to rotate with them. And I think you have a long list of guys that could emerge. We know that Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton are going to be the top two, but then that third guy, you know, who last year was Ty Hamilton. Who's it going to be this year? I think that's one of the most fun conversations to have that I think we can get into, because, you know, Spencer, there's a ton that could be in line for that.
Yeah, it's who's first off the bench, right? And we're going to, you know, for what it's worth, that was a question we got almost instantly on the Letterman Lounge message board. Go there now, put those questions into the defensive line questions thread, and, you know, I will be away for most of the week, but Andy will get those things answered. I think it's going to be a fun week of questions from Letterman Row members on the board. Who's going to be the first guy off the bench? And, you know, I think it depends on whether you have positional versatility. I think it depends on how well you do against an improving Ohio State offensive line. I think at defensive tackle, it depends on how you look against Seth McLaughlin, who has given up one sack in his entire career. He started 25 games in Alabama. He's given up one sack, and it came in the Rose Bowl against Michigan against two guys who are likely to be first-round picks in Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. So, like, he's a really, really good player. No sacks allowed in the history of his SEC career. Like, that's crazy. So if you're a defensive lineman and you're a tackle and you want playing time, you better be getting every rep you can against Seth McLaughlin and proving to Larry Johnson, like, if I can beat this guy off the line here at Ohio State, like, I can beat any of these centers we're going to play off the line. And so is that, you know, obviously I think Ty Hamilton and Tyleek Williams are cemented there, right? We don't have to discuss that, but like, is Jason Moore going to take those reps and run with them and become that first guy off the bench? Is it still going to be Hero Canoe? Because late in the season, we did start to see Hero Canoe work his way in there. That Wisconsin game was kind of eye-opening. I know it was only, I think it was only like 5 or 6 snaps, but he made his impact felt. I think he had a big play on in a key moment near midfield against Wisconsin. Like, those two are the ones that I've got my eye on, because I think they can both play, you know, either spot where Larry Johnson might need them, but they also have the bodies and the possibly durability to be what Larry Johnson wants them to be in the middle there. Run stuffers who can get after the passer if they need to be. A lot of attention is going to be on those edges. Can you sneak past a guard or a center and make a sack the way Mike Hall used to for Ohio State? So, like, that's, again, like you said, Andy, like, that's the intrigue there. It's like defensive tackle, like, who's the first and second guys off the bench? There are a lot of candidates there, but I've got my eye right now on Jason Moore and Hero Canoe. Tim, do you have anybody else, or is that where you're kind of leaning as well?
Yeah, I'm leaning that way. I mean, I want to look at the defensive ends, because I think this is a critical preseason camp for Caden Curry, for example. Maybe not me. He can still – the guy I'm intrigued with, and I keep coming back to this, is Mitchell Melton. Because Mitchell Melton, you know, was the apple of Jim Knowles' eye at one point when he first showed up at Ohio State and then didn't get a chance to do it. But, yeah, I thought Mitchell Melton – I don't know if you guys agree or not. Raise your hands if you do, and don't raise your hands if you don't. There's the instructions. I thought he had a really good spring. And I think he's what I'm hearing is he's parlaying that, you know, from during off-season workouts and stuff. So – I like that situation. And then Kenyatta Jackson, you know, all three of these guys, Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson, Mitchell Melton, could go to a lot of places, could have transferred to a lot of places and probably be playing, you know, people would be gushing about them as we are right now in this summer video about this defensive line group. But they'd be gushing about those guys as big time gets, you know, from the transfer portal. But they're all still at Ohio State. And I just think that speaks volumes for the depth of this Ohio State defensive line at this moment, 2024. I've been covering Ohio State, like you say, for a long time. I don't remember this quality of depth going basically into the third team realm of almost at every position on the defensive line. I don't remember it being this deep. And so that's what intrigues me. But Mitchell Melton is a guy I've really got my eye on about maybe having a big time year. I know we'll make a big time bold predictions maybe later this week, but Mitchell Melton will definitely be in consideration for me.
Yeah, it's almost reminiscent, Tim, of the 2017 Ohio State defensive line, that yep. where you had Jalen Holmes and Tyquan Lewis and a young, you know, Nick Bosa and a young Chase Young. That's the unit that Ohio State is, and Sam Hubbard. I don't want to forget anybody, but
no.
I will. You know, that's the line that Ohio State is looking for, right? Like that's what Ohio State really wants from its defensive line this year, especially because I thought Tyleek Williams said it best in spring ball. Like, he can't play 50 snaps a game, and JT Tuimoloa and Jack Sawyer can play 50 snaps in games, but they can't play 50 snaps a game. There's no reason that they should play more than 30 snaps against Akron or Western Michigan or Marshall, because if you're playing 40 in each of those games, that's 30 snaps across three games. That's 40 snaps across four games. Well, 10 times 16 is 160 more snaps. And, you know, I keep bringing it up. You look at that Michigan defensive line from last year, which I think is one of the standards at this point for what a defensive line should be. They barely played any snaps because they were blowing teams out. So, like, and yeah. they played a kind of a dog crap schedule. So, like, they didn't have to play in the second half a lot of games. Well, guess what? In November against Ohio State, that showed up. In January against Alabama and against Washington, for those national title games, like, that showed up. Like, they had just games worth of snaps that they did not put on their bodies. And, like, Ohio State can become deeper and deeper and deeper on this defensive line and continue to just pile on depth and rotate guys and not have to miss a beat. And even if there's a drop off, like, you can afford some drop off from guys in these non-conference games and even some conference games. Like, you are going to pay yourself down the road. And I think that is the name of the game for this defensive line, is, like, do not put too much weight on yourself or too many snaps on yourself in September and in games that you don't need to. If you're up 28 in the second half, like, there's no reason for you to be in games. You need to be ready for Georgia. You don't need to be ready for Northwestern. And I think that's the biggest thing that this defensive line has to do this season, Andy, as they try to navigate this new schedule.
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend on the offense too, because last year Ohio State's offense wasn't up to standard. So they weren't scoring as many points. They didn't have as big leads. I mean, how many times we go into halftime, Ohio State had, you know, 10, 14 points or whatever, and it was a game, you know, with whatever opponent we were talking about, the Big Ten. And that makes it hard as a defensive coach to take out your top guys, because your defense needs to be getting a stop pretty much every possession at that point to win the game. So I think it does change when, let's say, the offense really pops off again, like it usually does under Ryan Day and Ohio State. Then you have so much more flexibility to play around with those reps, like you're talking about, Spencer. If you're in blowouts, yes, you can definitely cycle guys through and have a cap on how many snaps they play. I think that was just the difference between what last year was and maybe what this year will be. I think that Kenyatta Jackson is someone that, you know, last year we raved about. We talked about how he could be, you know, a breakout star, and Ryan Day at Big Ten Media Days talked about how he looked like an NFL player. He still does, by the way. And I think it's just a matter of putting it all together and, you know, getting his mentals right and being focused and making the most of the opportunities he gets. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities last year. Same thing with Caden Curry, who people rave about, not only on defense, but also special teams. They said he runs like a maniac. Guys will often talk about how he's one of the hardest to block on that Ohio State defensive line. So those two guys, and yeah, you guys mentioned Mitchell Melton, who even last year made kind of a silent impact as an edge rusher. You know, we were talking about him in the jack role at this time last year, and of course that kind of got extinct, at least as last year was concerned, and Mitchell Melton actually did make somewhat of an impact as an edge rusher last year. So all of those guys have the potential. I'm really just curious to see if they get the opportunities, because last year they just, again, games were so tight, they couldn't rotate like they wanted to. So snaps were top heavy.
I agree. Rotation is the key. They've talked, they're going to do it is what, you know, they said all spring. They've got to do it. 16 games is tough on any position, but definitely on defensive linemen, because they're in a battle every play. It's a physical battle every play. And Spencer laid out ad nauseum almost to a certain extent of how key it was for Michigan last year to have those fresh guys, fresh bodies in November and December and January. And it made a big difference. And that's why, you know, I look at a guy like Hero Canoe, boy, did he flash a couple of times last year, big time. If they can get 15, 20 snaps out of him every game, that's huge. And I think they will. And we all know, I mean, he's a smart dude. And then on top of that, being selfish, speaking from a selfish standpoint, the possibilities for headlines and puns in and around here, a guy named Hero and then a guy named Canoe. Canoe runs rapids, you know, whatever, tears up Akron. I mean, all the things, he was a hero again. I mean, you have to look selfishly at those possibilities, you know, when you're guys like us. But, yeah, I mean, I think the depth-wise, but I'm telling you, I've got my eye on two guys who I really like in this deal from what I saw of them flash in the spring. One is Mitchell Melton and Edrick Houston. The other guys we already know about, but I really like Edrick Houston and his potential. Every time you saw him, he seemed like he was getting better. And this is a guy that only been on campus for like 3 months, 4 months. I mean, the possibilities there from a depth standpoint just go off the chart, pardon expression.
Yeah, we've seen him in June as well throughout high school recruiting camps. That guy is huge. Like, he does not look like a freshman. So we'll see what he can do in year one. The defensive line is stacked, loaded, and ready for a big year in 2024. Andy Backstrom, he'll be there to cover it all at lettermonroe.com. Full week of coverage of defensive line week. Go there right now, get your full coverage. $1 for your first 2 months. That's right, $1 for your first 2 months. Get you through Big Ten Media Days, get you right into training camp, right butting up against that season. Then you're going to want more coverage at lettermonroe.com. Tim May, the 41-year vet, he's going to be there all year long like he is every year. Covering the Buckeyes, year 41 for him. It's year six for me covering the Buckeyes. We're rolling along here with these position weeks. We are into the defense, on the defensive line week. We're talking Larry Johnson. We're talking Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloa. We're talking the Ohio State defensive line. Over on the Letterman Lounge message board, go get that coverage. Like I said, $1 for your first 2 months. Come join the party and join the conversation. For Andy, for Tim, I'm going to get out of here. I'm just Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys over at lettermonroe.com.